Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. As the world continues exploring the realm of holistic and natural remedies, more research is assuredly tying human health to nature. Spending time in nature regularly, even for just a short period, has been shown to reduce anxiety, provide essential vitamins, and improve overall health. On this podcast, registered nurse Barbara Glickstein discusses nature's impact on our health with Susan Allison Dean, a certified advanced holistic nurse, author, and founder of The Nature Nurse. This podcast first aired on Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio on August 5th, 2021.
This is Barbara Glickstein with Health Cetera in the Catskills at WIOX Radio. Yesterday, late in the day, my favorite time at the beach, I sat comfortably sitting in a chair just staring out into the Atlantic Ocean, watching the waves roll in. There were birds flying above the shoreline and the lighting was just beautiful that time of day. I found myself relaxing in a very quiet space. My breathing changed, my shoulders relaxed, and I smiled to myself. The natural world, the non-built world of water, air, earth, vegetation, and animals. My experience yesterday with the interaction with the natural world reaffirmed how deeply beneficial nature is to us humans. What is your relationship with nature? Susan Allison Dean is a board-certified advanced holistic nurse, the CEO and founder of The Nature Nurse, which you can find more about at thenaturenurse.com. She's also the author of multiple books, and one we'll talk about today. Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills, Susan.
Thank you, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we previously spoke before the interview about so many deep connections. And so the connections with humans and the connections with nature is really an area of expertise that you have gained so much knowledge about. So start off by saying, how does nature impact our well-being? I know you're a holistic nurse and many other things that we'll get into, but let's start off, what is nature's impact on our well-being?
Well, our well-being specifically refers to, more towards our mental, emotional health, I would say. And I think COVID has amplified our need for nature. In fact, we see our parks people saying, oh my God, there's so many people here. And if you follow your favorite parks on Facebook, you'll notice they'll say, by 9, 10 o'clock, the park is closed. And so instinctively, it's something called biophilia. It's something within us that we are just, no pun intended, but naturally connected to nature. And so when, we're stressed or things like that, I think just instinctively we go and we find well-being really a salve and solace for our anxiety, for grief, for trauma. And I could go on and on even just about those topics specifically. But in a short answer, I think COVID has really, really shown us how important nature is.
So you talked about the mental and emotional impact, which we know when those areas of our life are under stress, under trauma, our feelings, our emotional state and well-being does impact our physical health. Speak a little bit to the implications for the biodynamic healing of nature and what happens when I sat there and all of a sudden my breathing changed. My shoulders that were a little bit higher up to my neck from just leaving the city and coming out to the beach, I noticed started to lower. Talk to that physiology and well-being.
Yeah, so physiologically, there's a lot more research being done, but some of the major studies and the references that I point to is, now with neuroscience developing, that has been huge. That's been a huge breakthrough in understanding what nature does for us. And mainly you'll see talks about the prefrontal cortex, which is kind of what it's always hard to try to find the perfect analogy that the public can like link to and understand because we talk in such complex language as healthcare people. But basically it's like to me, it's like your concierge. Mm. So imagine if you were in a hotel and one or two people went out to the concierge for advice on where to go to eat or where to, what to do for the day. That's fine. But imagine if the whole hotel just flooded in and bombarded the concierge at once, and he or she was just trying to fill everybody's needs, and just the whole thing just collapsed. Nobody's satisfied. It's just a mess. And that's what, you know, our prefrontal cortex is. But when we go in nature, what science has shown us is that it basically kind of calms everything, kind of puts some distance in between the concierge in our brain and all the bombardment out there. And it allows the concierge to just calm down. And in that calmer, tranquil state, we're better able to problem solve, we're better able to intuit what we should be doing, we connect spiritually deeper, our cortisol level, which is a chemical in our body, calms down, like our whole, that fight or flight or freeze syndrome that happens with stress, everything just calms down. And more and more athletes, CEOs, students, I'm really excited to see a tremendous amount of colleges are catching on to this. And now it's part of their education. And that, because up till now, they're down, you know, in some of our local parks on a beautiful day, even if it's really close to a campus, there's days out there when I'm the only one there and I'm like, what is going on? If there's so much stress in our college campuses, why aren't they getting these kids out in nature? Why aren't these kids automatically knowing that in between classes, if they have a break, go out to nature, maybe study in nature, gather in nature? And especially now with COVID, we know the outdoors is the safest place for us to be. We still need to, with this Delta variant, which as we all know is just really I don't even have words for it, but it's you know, scary and it's fierce, but the outdoors is still our safest place. But if you're not with your people that you house with, you still want to be mindful to create space and wear a mask if necessary, even if you're in the outdoors. But it is still so healing for us to be out there.
You're reminding me of my college days when a professor would say, okay, we're going to move the class outside. And everyone was exuberant about it. And some professors felt like students weren't as, didn't pay as much attention when they were outside. And I always used to think, well, look how happy we are. We're learning in a space where we're happy. I know you can't always do it, but what I remember the days when it did happen and there were cheers as we all embarked out to whatever the locale was, as long as we were outside the building. I did read about something that perhaps you can speak to as well, which was a form of depression that's caused by nature deprivation. And they were linking the study that I did read to an increasing amount of time that people were spending in front of screens, whether it was your computer or television, and the idea that the treatment, in addition to seeking out mental health, of course, a mental health advisor and getting counseling, was nature. Have you heard of this nature deprivation caused depression?
Not specifically. I do keep on my radar about all the screen time and its impacts on us. And one of the things that, for me, becoming the nature nurse, which is something that came to me through meditation, is that to do all this is I really focus more on trying to focus on the positives of it. So yes, I see the data on the screens and all the negatives. And, you know, as we know, even once again, referencing COVID, some people are motivated by a carrot, some are motivated by a stick. What I have found the most beneficial way for people to understand nature, and this is backed by science, is that getting people out into nature and having them experience it for themselves is what gets them to best embrace it and do it more. So I could sit here and tell moms and dads and people and kids and teens, and sometimes I do, about all the negative impacts of screens, but for the most part, I found most people, A, they don't want to be told what to do. B, that a lot of people, kids, parents, teachers, whatever, are aware of the screen issue, and they're seeing the mental, we're just looking at this virtual learning for kids. We know there are a lot of kids being prescribed antidepressants, and I'm talking to some of the ICU nurses in the area, and they said they've never seen so many attempted suicides in their ICU. So there's all that negativity, and it's horrible. But what I'm trying to do is amplify the positive and to get people out there, because the data shows that we underestimate how good we'll feel after being out in nature. And so again, I just like when I take people on holistic wellness walks in nature, and they're like, oh my God, I feel so good when I'm with you. I'm like, no, you don't get it. It's not me. It's the nature. So keep going, try it by yourself, call up a friend, bring a kid. And it's, you know, the other big piece of the research that I think is important, and that I think is almost kind of comical, because, you know, Mother Nature, you know, you remember back in the days, the commercial, don't mess with Mother Nature.
Yes.
Is that she makes it so incredibly easy that we could just go and plop ourselves on the lawn on a towel and gaze at the clouds. And that is engaging with nature. That is extremely healing. And yeah, if you love to garden like I do, go out and garden and connect with nature that way. If you like surfing, which I've tried, which is awesome, go out and try something new and do surfing or hiking, or there's so many different ways to engage. But if you're just exhausted, I just wrote an article for the North Carolina State Park System about nature and health, because they understand the link and they're trying to amplify that. That, you know, for parents, you know, parents put, spinach and broccoli and stuff, like they disguise it in smoothies and stuff to get their kids to eat it. So parents can go and just have a picnic on the lawn or a park, and just that in itself, they're getting their kids outside without the, you know, and just do, tell the kids we're going for an hour, leave your phones at home.
That's a wonderful recommendation for our listeners to take and act on. And it doesn't have to be the whole day. It could be that half hour that you have between your busy, complex lives. I love how you talked about nature also connecting us to each other, and that people thanked you, and yet you and received that gratitude as the leader of that holistic nature walk. But in turn, you gave them the sense of well-being, that it was them that was connecting with nature and owning that. So I loved reading that you also designed healing gardens for clients. Can you talk a little bit about the size of a healing garden, whether people should create a healing garden? I live in New York City. I don't have an outside garden, but talk to folks who may not have big lawns or opportunities to create a healing garden. And what does it look like? What would be in that healing garden?
Well, that ironically is a big part of what the Healthy Green Thumbs campaign was about, which is all on my website, thenaturenurse.com. That was done in partnership with Cliff Julian, who is known as the Nurse Farmer. And because he and I are so like-minded, I had reached out to him. I said, you want to do something together? And as you know, us nurses, like, you know, the whole videoing and everything else is something that we're not typically taught in nursing school. So it was kind of fun to do that. But to answer your question, in terms of a healing garden, it could be as simple as having a cactus plant on your window. It can be, you know, a whole blown out perennial bed. When you talk about hospitals, my husband's a landscape designer, and we used to design for Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, excuse me. And like you said earlier before we went live, is that in hospitals, one of the things I would do is pay attention to where the windows were, because some people can't get outside, especially patients. And so that I wanted them to be able to at least see it. So sometimes a healing garden can be as simple as a chair overlooking, you know, a small bed of flowers or an ornate design. it's a lot of what I focused on in my earlier part of career, which kind of began to awaken me of the power of all this, was container gardens, which is really my forte. I love container gardens. I love, I'm a high level empath. Some people call it a mystic. So I'm very intuitive. So like, I don't talk, like I don't hear plants talking to me, but I feel their energy. I feel, so when I mix and match, I'm just intuiting which wants to go together, what wants to go in this pot. And very often, like, for example, I was out plant locating for a client, and I went by a group of orchids, and there was one orchid that in particular, I just felt very connected to, and I don't second guess it anymore. I don't know why I need to bring this orchid back to my shop or, you know, what I'm doing with it, but I brought it back, and somehow it told me to stop at one of my other clients' house and leave it on her by her front door. And later that day, she goes, "Oh my God, I can't believe, I know that was you that left that. And it, you know, today's my mother's birthday and orchids are her favorite flower."
Wow.
So I believe that they are communicative, and so is nature in us on a much higher level than some of us are able to sense. But I think somehow it's trying to connect with all of us, even if you are not as aware as other sensory people.
We're made for each other, nature and humans, aren't we? And I'll invite you back to talk about what we should start doing to be more respectful of that natural world. But we have just a couple of minutes left. And I really wanted you to tell the listeners about the author of the book, many books. This one is called #CoolGrannies. I just had such a smile when I read about it. So let's let the listeners hear about Cool Grannies, Susan Allison.
Oh, well, thank you, Barbara. I write for fun. That was another thing. When I was designing container gardens, I kept getting this nudge, I call it an internal nudge, to write a book, which I, you know, squash. And then I broke my ankle. And the first thing my husband said, "Oh, now you have time to write the book." So I started writing. And much to my surprise, people I didn't know read it and liked my books. And so I kept writing. So Cool Grannies came about because, first of all, after writing my first two books, I wanted to focus on something that was really fun. Because when you write a book, it's a long journey. It's not, you know, it's not like a blog. And I wanted to, there was a woman who inspired the book. Her name was Moretta, and she was a woman before, ahead of her time, who I really admired. And she, her husband died, and she went to live closer to her daughter, which, you know, I get, I respect that and I understand that. But part of me was disappointed because she was so vivacious. I'm like, gosh, why didn't she just keep like go visit her daughter, but go out and do fun, crazy things like she always did. And so I drew the main character off of Moretta, and long story short, it became a book of a road trip with her going out. And I call it the Golden Girls version of Thelma and Louise minus the cliff. So it was really, it was fun to write. I've gotten some, I do some Cool Grannies book events. And that to me is just fun in itself. It congregates middle-aged and older women who are tired of the, you know, grannies taking care of their grandkids, knitting, you know, kind of traditional thing. I think we're breaking out and being like, these days we're more than that. And we're, you know, the horizons are much wider. And even the people ahead of us are breaking down those stereotypes. So that's what that was really about.
Susan Allison Dean is a board certified advanced holistic nurse. She's the CEO and founder of The Nature Nurse. You can find out more about her work at thenaturenurse.com. She's also an author. And you just heard her speak about just one of her books called Cool Grannies. So I'm a cool bubby. That's my Yiddish name for granny. And I thank you for joining us. And in closing, I read this. It said, "A daily dose of nature restores your body, mind, and spirit to help you move better, think better, and be better in all aspects of your life. This is Barbara Glickstein. You've been listening to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Cetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to Health Cetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Diana Mason, Barbara Glickstein, and production assistant Kai Volsey.